It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man. Good man. Community. Sup, ha! Tell him your name sent you.
Avery.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, ha!
Tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 16. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell me what's up.
Oh, yeah. Put that right there.
Hey, baby. I ain't asking what you
want.
No, baby.
This cat.
I ain't asking what you
want. I hear something like this.
You're too big, a big, bigger, hunger, love.
Yeah.
How will you do?
What's good, man? It's all good. We're going to talk about a little music action, a little internet action today on this episode of It's That Podcast. Because we gave you the old sports-a-roo two in a row, deep. Buried that sports-a-roo deep. So we're moving to the other side of the stuff we like to talk about. So music and internet and all that good shit. So Jay and I sat here and we talked about what we wanted to do with this episode, and we decided to throw some songs at you that we like, or bands that we're listening to, or stuff that we can't really turn off on YouTube or anything else. So we're going to start with some tunes. Jay, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Why don't you lead it off?
Okay.
Maybe.
This song is a song I keep going back to on Spotify. There it is. Tommy's loving it already. He's like, wait, you know this song?
Like he's not in his head.
Yeah, big time. Oh, man, he's digging it. He's playing air guitar to it right now. Anyway. Oh, there it is. He came back. It's a song off of Ronnie Wood's first solo album. Back when he was technically still with the Faces, before he went to the Stones. And it's I Can Feel the Fire, which is a classic. It's so good. I should say that... it's an all-star cast on this album, right? So we've got Ronnie Wood, obviously, Rod Stewart, Keith Richards, Ian McLaughlin, George Harrison. Bowie is singing backup on this song, apparently, which is kind of tough to hear because all I hear is Mick and Ronnie. But
it's hard not to hear Mick anywhere he's in.
Right, David Bowie's voice kind of sinks out, but according to what the internet tells me, that David Bowie singing backup vocals on this song. This whole album is really, really good. If you like the Stones at all, or the Faces, or anything else of that ilk in the early 70s, you should probably listen to this album. It's on Spotify.
And this is kind of like where Ronnie's and Keith's connection came in. They were both big reggae fans.
Right. Yeah. And Keith was trying to get him over to... And Mick Taylor, by the way, also on this album.
Really?
Yeah. Which is kind of...
It's an on bridge.
Ironic, if you ask me, because Ronnie would replace Mick Taylor and the Stones. But they did a really good job with this album overall. And Ronnie Wood, one of the songs on this album, is in our top 10 podcast earlier in our archives.
As a cover.
As a cover by Sunvolt. It's actually, I think it's the last song on this album, but it's amazing too. And it's just... down and dirty British rock and roll, man. That's it. Like this era, this album personified it all over the place. It has so many. There's rumors of people uncredited on this album because they were on a different label.
So, but they wanted to be on it.
They wanted to be on it. Rumor: Eric Clapton's on this somewhere, apparently. Which I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, if George Harrison's on it, not out of the realm of possibility that Eric's on it.
Can you give me a year on this album?
73? Let me double check real quick here. 74. September 74.
Okay.
It's about that era. Like Clapton was really seriously druggy. Maybe with Patty Harrison at this point. I don't know the complete timeline of Clapton's theft, so to speak. I don't know the way to put it.
Of Layla.
Of Patty Harrison. They might be around this time-ish, right?
Yeah.
And
I know he was not able to attend a couple of rock star weddings because he was so heroined up. Yeah. They wouldn't let him on the plane.
Right. Which is fair. When my last train rides, the second to last train ride, they didn't let somebody on the train because he was so fucked up.
Like, but they let somebody that pooped in their chair.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was a different train. That was CTA. Like, there's no conductor on the blue line, unfortunately. But yeah, so this is one of my music picks. It's really just balls of the wall British rock and roll from that era.
It's strong,
doesn't get
man.
Better than this, doesn't, in my opinion, in terms of British rock and roll in that era. I put this up with any Stone songs, anything from this era. You know, this is around, if I remember right, is this like Let It Bleed? 74,
yeah. It would have to be.
Around that time?
Because that was Mick Taylor's last album.
Yeah.
So it's or, be, I'm sorry, Mick Taylor's first album.
Right.
To Brian Jones' album.
I'm wondering if it's like, or it could be after. I'd have to do research, but we'll go to Corrections Corner on the next podcast on that thing. Yeah, it's right there for you, man.
You know what's so funny about this to me is it's Ronnie's song.
Yep.
He's got all these people on it. They're all doing it.
Yep.
But who wants to be the fucking standout? Who do you hear more than anything else? Mick.
Yeah, Mick Jagger.
It's just...
Yeah, I know.
Hey, welcome to Ronnie's life, man.
That's right, man.
This is my album.
And the album title is called I've Got My Own Album to Do.
Right.
And there's conflicting stories about how it got to that point. Like that album name. Like the first story is, oh, screw you, Stones or whoever, I got my own album to do. Or it's a dig at Ron Wood, who would rather do a solo album than do a Faces album. So
Rod Stewart.
Right. Correct. So that was my one. That was my pick number one, Jay. What do you got?
My pick number one is my Sunday morning song, either before I go to church or my celebration of not going to church. And it's Descending by the Black Crowes, who I've kind of fallen back into in the last 3-4 weeks.
They're so good.
And they are. Yeah. They just...
Yeah. And we had this
discussion...
It's like
a big warm blanket, man.
We had this discussion
before
we started rolling today about how the band has kind of split. Right?
Correct.
So it's Magpie Salute, which is
Rich Robinson
and Mark Ford from the Crows, and doing their own thing. And they have their own original album. I believe they've recorded an album, and they have their own song. They've been touring Whole Nine Yards. And then Chris Robinson had a band for a long time, the Chris Robinson Brotherhood.
He still kind of does.
But he went and saw that his brother was doing it.
And making money off of
the Black Crows. So he said, well, fuck this, I'm going to do it too. So that he has a band now called As the Crow Flies. And they're out touring. I don't know if they have any original material or if they've recorded an album or not.
They, as far as I know, from looking at set lists, they do Black Crowes material and cover material. And he kind of sprinkles this As the Crow Flies in when the Chris Robinson Brotherhood band doesn't have gigs.
Yeah, the Chris Robinson Brotherhood has the main guitar player is Neil Casal, who's in the Cardinals with Ryan Adams. So that's pretty cool, right? And he's a really good guitar player. There's a version, if you search on YouTube, not doesn't be done right now, whenever you get a chance to post some podcasts that we've done, to look up. He does a cover of It's All Over Now, Baby Blue.
Oh.
With the Brotherhood on Sirius XM.
Nice.
And it's, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's really, really good.
Badfinger.
It's very...
Right?
Bob Dylan. Is it Bob
Dylan? Oh, so, I'm...
It's All Over Now, Baby Blue.
Oh, that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very dead-y, which is not normally my bag.
No, it's not
all.
Your bag at all.
Jackassery, as we've come to
correct.
But I enjoyed it. And actually, Neil Casal is playing a copy of Garcia's guitar.
Like, wow.
If you saw it, you'll know exactly which one I'm talking about. It's this carved top, it's got engravings in it, and the whole nine yards.
Okay. Well, we had a friend of ours that actually saw As the Crow Flies in St. Louis.
Yep.
and he said it was wall-to-wall hits. The last four songs, he said that it could have been a 90-minute show, an ideal 90-minute show. Mm-hmm. However, it was an hour and 50 minutes.
Oh, because I'm sure.
The last three to four songs didn't have vocals. It was just, as Joe was mentioning,
oh boy,
the wankery, the jackassery that jam bands like to do. And Jesus. I've been a part of that at one point.
I'm not saying it is what it is, right? Like, he's just trying to.
Yeah.
So, digging through, now get this, as sure. The crow flies, has Audley Freed, who replaced Mark Ford,
right,
in the Black Crowes.
Correct.
Also, and I didn't know this until I just read this little tidbit,
mm-hmm.
Marcus King is in this band.
All right.
I had no idea. Now, if you don't know who Marcus King is.
I don't.
You do. He's the blues player, that kid with the really long hair. I think I told you this. I think I played him for you before. He's ridiculous. Marcus King is utterly freaking ridiculous.
So he's the lead guitar player?
He's one. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently. He's. Yeah. Yeah. It's Audley Freed, bassist Andy Hess and Adam McDougall. The band also includes Robinson and McDougall's current CRB bandmate, Tony Leone on drums.
Yeah.
Who's with the Brotherhood.
Sure.
And then up-and-coming guitar player Marcus King.
You know what? How can you slight your brother more than, like, trying to pull in the greatest new young
guitarist? Yeah, I don't. They hate each other.
They do.
Like, literally hate each other. And I... Having had the brother, little brother, big brother dynamic in my life.
Sure.
There are times I get it, especially as a little brother, which is right. What I am, but dude, like, just spite your, like, you're doing stuff now just to spite the other guy. You know, that's not right.
When the Crows went to court early on in their career, I don't know, early on in the career, maybe after album two or three.
Yeah.
Chris praised Rich for wearing a $1,000 suit to court every day.
A different one?
Yeah, a different $1,000 suit every day for this guy that was trying to get money from them that probably didn't deserve it. I mean, he had a cocktail napkin that had it drawn out, like the division of how the band money was going to go and his money and whatnot. So,
yeah. I mean, the Crows.
He loved it then.
The Crows, as an entity, made a shit ton of money.
Yes, they did.
I don't know who got it or where it went or whatever. Because, I mean, they were signed to Deaf American Records.
Yeah.
Their first, for sure, Shake Your Moneymaker. Maybe even Southern Harmony. I don't remember.
Right.
But then that America was Rick Rubin. That was Rick,
no,
that
you
was
know what? America was still on.
That was Rick Rubin's label.
Yeah, it was.
So, I mean, is it Rick Rubin that fucked him? Is it?
I don't see him fucking anybody, dude.
Me neither. He's not that kind of guy.
He doesn't feel that way.
He doesn't
way.
Feel like that no. kind of guy anyway.
Now, after that AVET documentary.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If you haven't seen that, by the way, go out.
Get on
way.
It.
Get out. Go out of your way.
Get on that.
It's ridiculous. The AVET Brothers documentary, HBO, I think we talked about Here and Now. I think
we
it's
did.
Called. We did chat about it, but it's really good. But to get back to the Crows thing.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen some Magpie Salute stuff on YouTube, and I've listened to some of their stuff on Spotify. They're really, really, really good.
No, they're a tight band. But again, I'm going to bring Oasis into it, Joe.
That's fine.
You've got a guy.
It's not that dissimilar.
You've got a guy that's a songwriter, and you've got a guy that is a rock and roll motherfucking singer that makes your band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the marriage of those two that just, that's what makes the magic.
One without the other.
And
just
they
the
do
same.
It themselves, and they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're
together
is
what made it work.
Right, because in the end, if you go down the strip it down and go the nuts and bolts of it, it's just a song, right?
Yeah. No,
anybody can sing it. Anybody can play it.
No, and as our friend Donnie Rocker would always say, a great song can be rocked out.
Mm.
It can be played acoustic. You can speed it up. You can slow it down. If it's good, it'll work any way you can move it.
Yep, exactly.
And I love that.
Me too. And the Crows had a lot of songs like that.
Yeah, they did.
You can rework and everything else.
Yeah.
If you want to see a really sick Crows cover, Black Crows cover, on YouTube, look up The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Them doing the band, you're saying? Yeah.
They had full horns, full everything. God. Yeah, dude.
And
that's all Lee Fried. That's not Mark Ford playing guitar on that show. It's
okay.
All Lee Fried. But Mark Ford is so talented, and to be with Rich Robinson again and killing it,
yeah,
is awesome. It's good to see.
Well, he did so well with the Crows that he was able to tour on his own, mm-hmm. and take his kid out on tour, yeah. and have his kid open for him.
Yeah,
which I mean that says a lot.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculously awesome, but it's pretty ridiculous.
It is.
And we've both seen the Crows, right? When did you see the Crows?
I saw them open for Aerosmith. And then I saw them in Champaign at Mabel's.
Nice.
Yeah.
I saw them in Northern at Chick Evans Fieldhouse with the Jayhawks opening up. Yeah, it was really good.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I know. It was really good.
Not during this one.
Not as good as this song. I'm talking over it, but that's okay.
It's over here.
So this is my number two song. It's Chris Stapleton, who's been the darling of Nashville for a little bit, and I'll take the victory because, dude, Nashville country is just so fucking awful.
Yeah,
it's,
well, I mean, if I could take any money that I had that I didn't need and could give it to somebody that probably doesn't need it,
right.
It'd be the producer of
it'd be Dave Cobb,
Jason Isbell,
yeah, and this
Sturgill Simpson,
yeah.
And Chris and that's, Stapleton.
And how ridiculous is that? He produced last two Isbell albums, last three Chris Stapleton albums, and the last two or three, however many Sturgill Simpson albums there have been. And Dave Cobb is ridiculous, but this song specifically is the first time I heard it. It affected me big time. And it's incredible. It's just his voice and the way it plays out. This is what Nashville should be. Like, this is what country music should be. Not fucking Florida, Georgia, state line troopers of America.
Luke Bryan, yeah. Sugarland,
whoever.
Yeah.
No.
Sluice.
Yeah. Carrie Underwood.
You know what I'll tell you, man?
Whatever.
I haven't heard
this song. I almost said Taylor Swift, but Taylor Swift's really more of a pop artist now anymore. She's not a country artist anymore.
Yeah. And I like T-Swizz, man. No. Don't hate on my T-Swizz.
I'm just saying.
I got a 10-year-old, soon to be 11-year-old daughter.
She's creepy. Yeah. Just for the record.
No, she's not, man.
She seems creepy to me.
All right. We'll fight about that later.
All right.
But I'm about to give you a compliment. If you
good.
Back off.
I will back off.
This is the first time I've heard this song in a minute, and this reminds me of something that you would write.
Yes. Yeah. This is up my alley.
Straight up.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. But his voice is so good.
Oh.
And the guitar playing is what it is. I mean, it's, I can, I
that's why I compared him to you.
Right. So. And I figured out this guitar riff in like 2 seconds. It wasn't that hard, but
right.
I can't hit his voice. Like, his voice is just so country. It's again, what country should be.
It's authentic.
It's truth. For sure. It's truth. It's not, hey, let's go in our pickup and four-wheel through the mud and
Daisy Dukes and beers and beer. Yeah.
Like Steve Earle said, current Nashville is for white people who like hip-hop but don't like black people.
There you go. That?
That's what Steve Earle said.
He did.
It's not my quote. That's Steve Earle's quote.
Steve Earle said that. And Todd Snyder said that Nashville country is for people that want to listen to music that don't like music.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because basically it's background.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't offend anybody.
Nope.
It doesn't make you think about anything.
Nope.
It won't bother you.
It doesn't evoke anything.
None.
It's like eating white bread.
There are people out there, and to this day, I'm almost 50 years old. It freaks me out to this day when somebody tells me about a song they like and I go, "Oh, who does that?" And they go, "I don't know."
No. Right.
Wait, what?
How do you not know that?
How do you not know who does a song you like?
Right.
I mean, you might not know all the words.
Right.
But not knowing who it is.
Right. And Chris Stapleton has firmly established himself.
Oh, my good Lord. He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe, my other big listen, other than the Crows lately, I've been mired in the 90s. And a band, Everclear,
yeah.
who... we joked about it earlier, I love that song that they write every time that they write it.
They're all and the same song.
Pretty well, much, really, except, but... you know what? I wanted to pick one that was a little different than the normal genre. Because mm-hmm. I can tell you, I can put six out there that are literally almost the same song. And I love all of them differently. I mean, the words are all different. Sure. But we need to talk about Art and the way he records.
Yeah.
I mean, the lead singer plays lead guitar. And it's the closest thing to the wall of sound that you're going to find.
It's up there. Yeah.
He will do the identical guitar part 32 different times on 32 independent tracks just to get the sound that he gets. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to see him live just to see how...
Pulls it off.
Yeah. I mean, I know he has a... When he plays live now, at least, he has another guitar player with him that I'm sure does not make a mistake.
He better not.
I know, right?
For his sake.
And we talked about James Brown before, looking at somebody going, that's five. That's five. Anytime somebody made a mistake on stage. And I'm just like, I would be shitting my pants, man. I would want to be looking at your hands.
No words for that. All right, exactly. It's like, holy shit.
So, in addition to this song, listen to this right here. Kid tells his mom to stop watching TV and says, hey, can't we watch Good Times or Chico and the Man or something cool like that? I'm like, I remember those days.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, I like Everclear. We talked about this in our production meeting. I like the song on Sparkle and Fade called Heart Spark Dollar Song.
Oh, that's the money song for me.
It's 2.5 minutes long, 3 minutes long, something like that. It's straight cash, homie.
And... conspicuously left off the Greatest Hits. That song was a radio hit when it came out.
I think it was.
It absolutely was. It's what got me to buy the album.
Yeah.
And this is 1999.
Maybe.
No. I'm going to say way earlier than that. I'm going to say like 95.
Okay.
But it had the line, me and my black girlfriend in it.
Yeah.
And so you got to leave that off now?
Yeah, I know. I mean, exactly.
Was it less important then?
And there's a line, for love so pure but a hate so blind. Like that's the lead into the chorus.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there was a chorus. Yeah, there was a chorus. He said.
No. Yeah. But yeah. And
I mean I like it, not because it presses any buttons.
No.
I just like it because
it's a great fucking song.
That opening riff is just ridiculous.
But, I mean, the fact that that's left off the Greatest Hits.
I know. It doesn't seem
it's
right.
It's glaring. It seems like maybe 6:70 a.m.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, what?
I know you don't, John.
What are you talking about? There's a radio station at 6:70 a.m.? I didn't know that. Huh. It's not on my presets. How could I miss that?
No, it's on your presets anymore.
No.
That's
no,
correct.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, man. We're going to get ready to transition into what we like on YouTube.
Yeah.
And Joe's going to hit us with...
Yeah. So I follow... I'm going to throw... Do you want me to throw one out? You take one and I take one? Okay. So I'll throw the first one out. I kind of stumbled on this guy. I watch a lot. I have on YouTube Red. Like, I pay for it. And everybody's like, well, don't you just get the whatever.
No,
with the whatever.
I
pay for it.
I pay for it, too. And not having
it's
commercials.
So...
Holy crap, dude. That alone.
And I'm on it all day. Like, I listen to shit all day, right? There's a few vlogs I love. And this guy kind of stumbled on. He's from Greenville, South Carolina.
Where would you put him behind Vaynerchuk?
Actually, probably ahead of him. In terms of what I watch.
Gary Vee? You watch this cat more than Gary Vee.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Gary Vee, I'll play catch up on.
Right.
Because a lot of his stuff is starting to...
get repetitive.
Sound the same.
Yeah, a little bit.
Same message.
But
I like Gary Vee a lot.
Good message on the same.
For sure.
Anybody doesn't know about him...
And I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for Gary Vee.
There you go.
Truth. That's truth. But in terms of daily watching of YouTube, he is from Greenville, South Carolina. Well, he might be somewhere in the Southeast, but his last, before he left for Las Vegas, was in Jacksonville, Florida. I take that back. He was in Jacksonville. and he decided to give it all up, earn enough money to live on for a little bit, right, and make his way in Vegas as a professional poker player. Now, you could sit there and go, well, it's a poker vlog, right? Not exactly. It's not a poker vlog. There are other poker vloggers I love to watch that discuss poker, that are straight up poker. And I don't play a lot of poker, but it intrigues me. It's just something I've always wanted to play a lot of, but I just don't have time for.
Right.
The title of his channel is the Trooper 97 Vlog. That's the name of it. And he's actually a Maiden fan. That's how he got the Trooper, right? He's a huge Maiden fan, so he calls himself the Trooper. 9-7 is his favorite hand, 9-7 hearts for some reason. And he used to deal poker in Jacksonville and Greenville, South Carolina, like illegal home games. He was a dealer. Made a shit ton of money, right? Because he would take a rake, and then he would get X amount of the rake. For those of you who don't know, rake is what the house takes out of the poker, the pot, right? And it's usually X percent of the pot. So he would make a ton on the rake, and then he would get tipped out of that too. And he was one of like two or three dealers in this house. It was some house in Greenville, South Carolina. Excuse me. That they just housed illegal poker games.
Now, I've seen a movie about this, Joe, with Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler.
The house? No, this is way different.
Oh, that was shitty. This is good.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was super bad.
Right.
Super bad was a great movie, but I digress. That's not what he called. His name's Tim Watts, and it's intriguing to me how somebody can do what he does in that literally gave up everything, left his family. He wasn't married or anything, so that helps, but gave up everything in his life that he had in terms of comfort, you know, job, whatever, and went and moved to Vegas. And he's been there now 3 or 4 years, and he's succeeding. He has his own clothing line. He has Go Gamble. That's his motto. He sells hats and t-shirts on his own website. And he makes enough money off that to play poker. And he makes money at poker. He's not bad at it. His latest vlog, he was pissed because he got fucked twice. Like, he played it correctly, played all the hands correctly, got all the money in when he needed to. And just the cards, the river and the turn just didn't go his way. But it's super intriguing, in my opinion. It's almost like watching The Truman Show is a long way to go. That's not at all accurate, necessarily.
Real reality TV is what I'm hearing.
Correct.
From you here.
Yeah. Okay. This isn't...
Not scripted, not produced,
right.
Not...
Right.
Okay.
Right. And he's funny. He's entertaining. And this is his trade line.
It's the Trooper. Yo, it is
8:18 p.m. It's the Trooper.
Wednesday. I wasn't going to vlog today. I wasn't even going to turn on the camera.
Yeah.
But then that all changed.
If you can hear him in the background.
And I went out to do a couple of things. And
he
I
has one camera.
To go ahead and make a vlog today.
And he's holding himself.
He holds himself in his hand. He doesn't have a tripod usually. And his episodes are about 15 minutes long, 15 to 20 minutes long. And they kind of just go through his day, right, as a poker player. Now, he doesn't play poker every day. He does a bunch of other stuff. But it's just super intriguing to watch a person do that. And not be envious is the wrong way to put it, but it's just cool to see somebody just picked up his stakes and just went and went to Vegas.
Jordan and Andrew from
and he has fans from all over the place. I mean, he has how many subscribers did you say he has? It's got to be 30,000 subscribers, something like that.
Okay, got it. Newcastle Brown Ale.
Roughly 32,000 subscribers. I mean, 32,000 people. That's more than watch. You know, from, Skip Bayless. It turns
out that in Chicago.
In Chicago, anyway.
Any right? day.
For sure. But this is my first choice on YouTube. Because I'm a fan. I watch a lot of YouTube. A lot. Tonight, I will lay in bed and I will watch YouTube for hours. Because it's just what I do. It's what I do all the time. And I'll watch him and I'll watch people like him and everything else. So my first pick is if you search The Trooper 97 Vlog. I recommend it. It's good watching.
All right.
What do you got for me?
I fell in a deep, deep rabbit hole. I can't even remember what I was looking for initially, but I ended up in Daryl's house.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you that don't know, is Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates. And he brings in current musicians. He brings in old folks. Mm-hmm. He plays their songs. They play his songs. It's just the whole thing. Just it amazes me that so many people, A, would want to go and see him and do this at his place. Mm-hmm. And B, that he would be welcoming and let him in and everything's cool. So,
well, at the beginning of it, at the beginning of this run of the show, it was more of a dinner and music. It was almost like a cooking and music show.
I think you're right. I remember it started on, I remember seeing it on WGN
right.
Like late at night.
Yeah, yeah. But it was more of a, yeah, like I said, it was a weird cooking and music show. It was odd, but utterly entertaining. Like, for sure, you're in. And I love this show. Live from Daryl's house is great. And you know, Daryl Hall is Daryl Hall, right? He's right. Kind of got a shuck and jive, and it's kind of, right?
Jive, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Right?
Cats from Philly and whatever.
Yeah. But he's had, like, big-time guys on the show.
Yeah.
You know, Rob Thomas, Nick Lowe, the Cheap Trick, Darius Rucker, Joe Walsh, right?
Absolutely.
All those cats were all on the show. All of them. And they show up, and now the musicians that he has with him are just like stellar studio
top musicians. Drawer.
So everything sounds immaculate. Like, nothing sounds sloppy other than his vocal. out of beat and unsyncopated. Which, but
and he tries to jive it up.
He tries it.
Oh, everything.
Man. And it doesn't work 99% of the time, which is part of the charm of the show.
But you know what's funny, though? When it's on a song he wrote, can you really call him
no.
on it? Can you
no.
go like, well, you know what?
Sarah smiles. You fucked that up completely. What are you thinking?
Wait, what?
What? It's my fucking song.
I'll do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
All right. And we're listening to Todd Rundgren
yep.
Live at Daryl's house right now. And Joe, you brought up a good point.
Yep.
His guitar player for a long time was...
Yeah, he was actually T-Bone Wolk. He was the bass player. Well, he was the bass player in Hall & Oates. G. Smith played guitar. He was the bass player. Yeah. But they were peas in a pod. They were together a lot. And unfortunately, T-Bone died.
And
I don't know how. I think he had cancer, perhaps. But.
Yeah, he... It's funny. I mean, this show has been on, what, 10 years?
It's been on a long time.
It's been a long time. Yeah. Anyway, you can see T-Bone kind of like fade almost.
A little bit.
Yeah, he gets a little thinner, a little paler, a little whatever. And the beautiful thing to me is that Daryl like honors his presence every time they record somewhere. It's either in his living room, downstairs, outside, wherever it's at, he has T-Bone's poster up.
Yeah.
So
I looked it up roughly 8 years.
Eight years.
Okay. They started late 2007.
Okay.
So we'll throw that out. And his last show was June 23rd, 2016 with Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
It was his last show.
Who looked not real good when he played with
him. No, he didn't. But again, I hope it can. I mean,
Danger Zone.
They haven't done an episode in 2 years or a year and a half, roughly. But I think he's been touring, and he's touring this summer with Train, and Train's been on the show.
Right. Well, yeah. Hall and
at least Pat Monahan has. I don't know if the whole band has been there. For sure. Pat Monahan, for sure. So.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hall and Oates back out there again.
Gotta make that loop, man.
But you know what? I look at Daryl's house, man. It's real nice.
Yeah.
That kid doesn't need any money.
It's all that man eater money. That's what it was. It's all that man-eater money, man. Right?
All right. Before we move on, I got to give you one more, and this is just because it's a guilty pleasure. This is another Daryl's house, but I'm going to throw a little Chris Daughtry.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
I don't believe you.
I am. But who, on an 80s-sounding song, who has a better voice to do it than a Chris Daughtry, right?
Yeah, I know.
Mean, that guy should have been there
yeah.
in the 80s, and he wasn't. I'm not going to penalize him because he no. wasn't.
I wish I could see this. I can't see it. But yeah. No, it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's just I've got such a... Oh, my God.
A disdain.
Oh, my God.
Look at him.
It's just too funny. I wish you could show this on
I honestly, I'm sitting here laughing at this and loving it at the same time.
For sure.
I mean, it's not like I'm playing this and not going, oh, no, I listen to this.
Right. And the best part of this video is the Live from Daryl's House guitar strap.
That he's wearing.
I know. It's so good.
He's wearing his own guitar strap.
Chris Daughtry is just...
He looks so serious and
he
stuff.
Does.
Like, what's look at his what's going on in his head?
Just to paint the picture for people that are listening to this, we have YouTube up on Jay's iPad, and we're watching this, and it's look. I'm not going to fault the guy's voice,
right?
He can sing, right?
But
it's just his shtick.
His whole gimmick was he was a Marine, right?
Yeah. Somewhere.
And then he won American Idol, or no, he didn't win it.
Right, he was second or whatever. Yeah. But it's the shtick that's weird. And it's like Scott Stapp.
It's like Creed. Not even really. I mean, this cat. It's like you like to say he's like a guy.
He's just a guy in a cover band,
right?
Right but place, right time.
Anyway, I'm just trying to figure out what's in his head standing in this joint with that guy who's weird as fuck.
Yeah, Daryl Hall is...
He is weird as fuck.
And this looks like his basement.
Yeah, right?
Doesn't it?
It does. And the cat that's playing percussion,
yeah,
he's going to come back in and sing the chorus part. But first of all, watch this. This gets all, it gets a little bit weird in like super 80s, and he's like, wah, wah.
I like that.
No, right here.
That guy.
Love this guy. He doesn't want to make any waves.
No.
He doesn't want to bother anybody.
None.
I'm doing my job.
Right.
I'm out.
Right. And we encourage everybody to get to YouTube and watch this with us, because this is...
But again,
oh my God.
Look at him. He's so,
yeah, I know. He's like,
Daughtry is like so serious, yeah. Trying to like, in his head, he's got to be like, I'm singing an 80s song with some guy that's like super old, and is this really going to help me?
And he gave me
future?
Some good food. It was good. I mean, he made me some, you know, spinach fettuccine with Alfredo sauce. It was delicious.
And again, I'm saying this out loud.
Of course.
I would watch this not have a problem with it.
Right. Yeah, the guy can sing. I gotta give him his props.
I know, but it's all jive.
It's a shtick. Yeah.
I just played you Daryl Hall and Todd Rundgren, who I think are incredibly jive. But that song that they did together, outstanding.
Yeah, for sure.
Huge fan. Anyway, and this is Donnie Rocker. If you're listening, this
is
a Donnie Rocker solo.
That's it. Solo. I know.
You can see him looking at it. He's like,
Something I can get into.
Get that.
Finally, something I can get into.
All right, ends. Yeah, all right. Okay, so that's enough for me from the YouTube. What do you got? What do you got, Joe?
Oh my God, I don't know if I can top that. That's just so good.
I'm not sure the good's right
word. I'm gonna throw a curveball.
Oh, do it.
It's not gonna be what we discussed.
Okay.
I'm going a different route. There's a music store in Guildford in England, in the UK. Called Anderton's.
Yes, I love Anderton's.
And they do gear reviews and stuff like that. The one I want you to bring up, I want you to type, search for Anderton's Miku, M-I-K-U.
Okay.
This, and look how many views this thing has.
The Korg
Anderton's
Miku pedal.
Yeah.
Funniest pedal review ever. Yep.
And this is their beginning to their, again, not to do a watch along or anything, but. This is about, how long is it? 15 minutes long, roughly like that. And they do basically, I'll just a sculpture right now. This is nothing important. it's they do gear reviews, and they review everything. So they're reviewing this pedal from Japan called the Miku pedal. Now, as you can hear, Every Breath You Take, right? So now here's the other guitar player, Rob Chapman. It's a pedal that mimics a voice of a character in Japanese anime is wrong, but and it's the most hilarious shit. And the gear reviews are good. Like, they review and they give their honest opinion. They don't fuck around, right? If it's crap, they'll call it crap. But you hear them, they're laughing.
Greetings, I'm Chappers.
And I'm the captain.
And welcome to possibly the best ever first review
it's just,
in a weekend of reviews.
This is just the funniest
because
one they've done.
Japanese. I say we're talking
but
Japanese.
But they're,
I really think so.
We genuinely are, though.
We genuinely are.
The Miku.
Overall. Which it's an interesting channel. It's an informative channel. A lot of my pedal board information has come from them.
It's how I built my pedal board.
And that pedal show also.
I have to absolutely but this, when you can make beautiful music like this.
This one is. It's just ridiculous. Literally.
So this is what? Who's this based on?
Hatsume Miku.
Kamsaki Make Makamu.
Right. Yeah, this is, and it's very British.
Very famous kind of animated character. Does
like
live shows.
The
like Mickey Mouse.
Owner of Antertons is on the...
Absolutely like Steamboat Willie.
Anyway, if you're on YouTube, search Antertons Miku, and if you're watching this
Mickey
at all,
Mouse. Is that who it is?
It's two guys. It's Lee Anderton,
and she performs,
who's on the right. He owns Antertons, obviously. And the guy on the left is Rob Chapman, who's a guitar player extraordinaire all over YouTube. He has his own line of guitars, Chapman guitars. He makes them himself. They're ridiculous.
Wait a minute. Who's my Big Fro guy?
That's Rabia.
Yeah. But he's also on here, right?
He's on here from time to time. Yeah,
yeah, that's my guy.
He works behind the scenes usually doing the audio.
Okay.
But yeah, he's definitely on here. Rubia Massad, they're in a band called Dorje.
In Japan
and
some areas
they're
the rest of the world.
Really good. Hard rock.
Yeah. And someone thought,
you know,
it would be a really
if you like
cool
your 90s hard rock,
interesting idea.
Right up your alley.
All right. So I told Chris Daughtry.
Yeah, he'd love it. He would love it. And Scott Stapp would also love it.
This sounds like some sort of porno Mexican.
But. This pedal is just ridiculous, but you can stop the video if you'd like.
I think
this is what the extent of their gear reviews are. I decided to play that because it was funny, but
right.
They have a very dry sense of humor, very British sense of humor. But their videos are super. If you're a guitar player, super informative. They're very insightful as to gear, amps, pedals, guitars. And they will tell you if it's shit or not shit. And like, for example, they reviewed, and Rob Chapman has his own line of guitars. He's bought, like they have videos of them buying $4,000, $5,000 Les Pauls, right?
Ooh.
Yeah. They played a $350 £350 I should say, Gretsch guitar.
A 350-pound guitar.
Gretsch. That was so good. Rob Chapman bought
normal guitar weighs.
No. British pounds. Like the currency, not
thank you.
Not a 350 lb guitar, 350 British
thank
pounds.
You.
You're welcome. 350 pound guitar, and he loved it so much he bought it. Like that's how much he loved this Gretsch. It was a solid body Gretsch, like the lower end one.
Mm-hmm. I used to own an Electromatic.
You did, and it's kind of like he really loves all guitars. Like it's really. He rarely will shit on something,
mm-hmm.
but he has. It's rare. But Anderton's Music is a phenomenal website, very informative. And there's a bunch of characters that have, lack of a better term, spun off from that, right? So okay. Rob Chapman has his own channel. Rabia Massad has his own channel. There's a guy on the show called Danish Pete. His name is Peter Onore. He has his own channel.
Who does Rabia normally do his Anderton's?
Pete, Danish Pete.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Peter Onore. As a rule, he hasn't done a review on Anderton's in a while, but he still works there. Like he still gets, he still works for him. Like I said, does audio on a lot of their videos. He works the audio end of it. But if you like guitars or like music at all, I highly recommend, highly, highly recommend Anderton's Music on YouTube. I love YouTube. Like if you ask me, Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube.
Hulu.
YouTube TV.
Yeah, I mean, Sling. Obviously Joe's cut the cord.
I still watch some TV. We have Dish Network at home, so it's pretty cheap. But I don't watch. There's nothing that I would miss if we lost our Dish Network, except for live sports. That's the one thing that TV hasn't quite, streaming hasn't quite nailed down yet.
That's the only.
I just want to tune into the channel and watch that.
That's the only reason we still have a cable box. Source is for live sports.
Yeah.
Is there anything, before I move on to podcasts, is there anything on TV that's grabbed?
No. On regular TV?
Yeah. Mm-mm. All right, man. I told you about this before, and I don't think you believe me or got on board with it, but the Biggie and Tupac.
I have not. Excuse me, I've seen commercials.
Oh, it's where it's at, man.
I've not seen any actual.
And the best part for me is when it fires up, I get the last like 90 seconds of Raw or whatever's on right before.
Raw or SmackDown.
SmackDown. Yeah. It's outstanding.
Yeah, we're going to have a day where we have a pro wrestling one. Just all pro wrestling.
Maybe. We will. But there was a cat. There's an Asian cat on. Raw or SmackDown now that is always in the final match.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah. And there's been three times that I've gone to watch my Big E Tupac
Unsolved.
Thank you.
That's exactly what it is.
Well played. I believe it is. Yeah. Anyway. And
so I've seen the commercials on Raw and SmackDown.
And this Asian cat is giving me the same look. At the end of the, and I'm like, shit, did I see this already?
And then crotch shot.
I'm like, yeah. I mean, every time he gives like this weird, like smirk smile thing. Yeah. And I'm like, oh man, I already watched this one. All right. I'm getting ready to delete it. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Well, no, this is new for me.
They made him a heel at WrestleMania.
Okay.
He fought AJ Styles. He's a champ. It's been a dream match. These guys wrestled in Japan against each other and just blew the doors off.
Right.
And Nakamura was a face and they turned him heel at WrestleMania. He lost the match. And then beat the shit out of AJ Styles afterwards.
Okay.
So they turned him heel.
Can I get a different, like, weird smile smirk thing at the end of the...
That's it.
No, every time I'm going to get that.
You're going to get that and a crotch shot.
Wow.
Yeah, every time. Him just forearm to the nuts every time.
Okay.
Yeah, like through the legs, crotch shot. That's kind of... I don't know how many times that Vince can tell them to do that before it gets old.
I
get it. You're a heel. Quit punching him in the balls. Do something else. Screw him out of a match. Do something.
Right.
You don't need to keep crotch shotting.
Steal his woman. Take a chair and hit him when he's not looking.
Well, the chair thing doesn't. It'll do that anymore.
Oh, they don't.
Concussiony. Too concussion.
Oh, boo.
They'll do it to the back. Like you'll see the guys feed him on the back if they grab a chair. Yeah. Okay. Great. But. They have to do something more than a crotch shot.
But they still do, like, going through tables, right? There's table matches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while, but yeah. There's still a pay-per-view called TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Oh.
But.
That's where you get your blood and
No. No, you don't. No blood. No.
Really?
No. Yeah. The only blood anymore, they use it very sparingly. And the last two times I've seen it, it's been legit not. With a blade.
Like an accident.
No. Not an accident. Brock Lesnar. Twice.
Okay.
They're trying to get... The one thing they're trying to paint Brock Lesnar as, which I don't think they have to do this, is a legit badass.
Well, isn't he back to...
not yet.
MMA?
No, he's still a champ. He signed a deal with the WWE. But his deal with WWE allows him to go wrestle in UFC. But I digress. That's not what I call it. So in two matches, Brock Lesnar used the point of his elbow to bust open. He busted open Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, He busted open Randy Orton earlier in the year, in the wrestling year, which is from WrestleMania to WrestleMania. I mean, Reigns was bleeding like a stuck pig, but it had to hurt like a motherfucker because when you get elbowed in the head, that had to fucking hurt.
Right,
but he was bleeding everywhere. Remember, his face was just covered in blood. I have not seen a fake.
Was he part of the air quotes? Was he part of the fake. Shield?
Roman Reigns was. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
No worries. Fake blood, meaning cutting your forehead purpose.
No,
that doesn't happen anymore. Mm-mm.
Right.
No, Vince. No. It's a publicly held company.
Sure.
They had to tone down a lot of stuff.
Right.
That being one of them.
Okay.
But if they have it legit happen, right?
I can't control that.
I didn't tell him to put a blade to his forehead. He did that on his own, which he did. I mean, like,
right.
Roman Reigns had like 9 staples in his head right here. He did a perfect job right in his scalp line.
Yeah.
Right on. It was like, it could not have been put in a more perfect spot. Right really? On the front like of his
maybe
scalp.
Maybe it was already cut.
It was not.
Perhaps.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just
Brock knows what to do. Okay. He's a UFC guy. He knows what to do. All
right.
Hard ways twice. But yeah, we'll do a wrestling episode, I'm sure, at one point. Because WrestleMania happened a while ago.
Right.
We'll hit on it. But it's my jam. Sorry.
No, I got you. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah.
You got a podcast for me that you like?
Sure. It just started.
Okay.
Literally. Last week. So this is very convenient. Last week because we taped this. It's a wrestling podcast, so we're going to just loop back to that.
Shocker.
I know. For those of you who are maybe WWE fans right now, don't know the name of Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff ran WCW in the late 90s into 2002, 2001, roughly, right? They actually beat Raw in the ratings for 83 weeks straight. 83 weeks. This is when the NWO happened and the whole nine yards behind that, and we won't go into too much detail. But the host of the podcast I love, love listening to, and probably my favorite podcast, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, is hosting a new podcast with Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff had his own podcast for a little bit. It didn't generate anything, like no buzz. Because he had a kind of a yes man hosting it with him.
You're correct, Joe.
Yes, like that. So there was nothing to talk about, really, right? Like, and what Conrad Thompson does is he goes through and he does his research, like big time research through pro wrestling newsletters and things like that. They're called dirt sheets. And he presents all this stuff to Eric in a timeline of the topic at hand.
So should I be doing that or?
So, no, not necessarily.
All right.
His first episode this week was, when Hulk Hogan joined the NWO, they call it the third man is the wrestling geek term for it. The third man, right?
He went from blonde to black.
He went from the red and yellow,
right? To the
black. But his hair, yeah, right, yeah. And his beard, the yeah. beard thing, and yeah,
terrible.
But they talk about everything leading up to it. His contract status. What did Hulk think about the move from being a babyface to being a heel? Because he's not going to sell enough at the time. He's not going to sell the merchandise. Like, people don't buy heel merchandise as a rule.
Right. Well,
back then.
Sure.
Back then.
Right.
No, like the NWO made that all stylish once that happened.
But, okay.
You know, he was going to take a cut there. Hulk was getting advisors in his ear, like his lawyer and his agent, saying, you shouldn't do this. You're a good guy. And it took a lot of convincing from Eric. It's a great episode. It's like 2.5 hours long. They talk about everything leading up to Hulk turning heel at Bash the Beach and him joining the NWO at the time. He corrects a lot of mistakes, a lot of rumor. Conrad calls it rumor and innuendo, right? And Eric goes back and he corrects. He's like, that's bullshit. That never happened. That's what this wrestling newsletter said. Never happened. And we never considered this, that, and the other thing. It was always going to be this or this. Oh, and it's an intriguing listen to, and it's also intriguing to listen to them get mad at all these wrestling dirt sheets that, you know, they claim, you know, Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard claim that they just make shit up and publish it as fact.
Well, that's our media today,
and it's also pro wrestling.
Yeah,
so
and that's our lives that's my
pick.
Today.
That's my pick. It's going to be. It's called 83 Weeks. It's on Apple. The first episode just went up Monday, as we taped this. So. I can't recommend it enough. It was really good. The first episode was killer, and what they have lined up coming up, the topics are really good too. So I recommend that.
All right. Well played.
Yep.
I have something completely different.
And now for something completely different. I wish we had that drop.
Right. I fell upon a British podcast called Wooden Overcoats.
Ooh.
And it is a fantastic storyteller podcast mm-hmm. where, and now that I'm going to say it out loud, I'm already embarrassed. And I've been embarrassed from fucking Daryl's house. But a mouse narrates it.
Okay.
Joe.
All right. Well, my favorite cartoons in high school was Danger Mouse, so okay. I'm not going to...
Anyway, there is a funeral parlor in this small British town. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes to town and opens up a funeral parlor right across the square from them, and all these hijinks ensue. But it's very British and very funny.
Good.
And I'm sure there's... wrestling tie-ins.
How many episodes?
They're already on season 3.
Oh wow! So there's like 30 episodes.
Yeah, you can binge it for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wooden overcoats.
That's supposedly a
casket.
Yeah,
I'm guessing. Right.
Well played.
How long are the episodes?
About a half hour. My daughter. I've gotten my daughter off another podcast that I love that's called Welcome to the Thatcher Tavern.
Yes.
Which might be inappropriate for youngsters to get to this because it still is
right.
Still well done and
yeah,
for sure to sleep and
yeah.
Things are good.
No, but that's awesome. So we have our podcast choices for the week. So in summary, we've got YouTubes.
Right.
I got Trooper 97 vlog is one first one. Anderton's music is another one. And your two are?
Mine was Daryl's house. I think that's all I had.
That's all you had. Okay. So yeah. Daryl's house. And then podcast, mine is 83 Weeks by Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson. And yours is Wooden Overcoats.
And then we had music that we'd been listening to. I've been listening to a lot of Black Crowes and a lot of Everclear lately.
Yep.
And Joe threw at you Ron Wood and Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, man. Can't fault you there. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of It's That Podcast. If you like us, go to Facebook, www.facebook.com/It's That Pod. We're on Twitter, @TripleLindy's, @J, that's the letter, Sleet Shirley, on the Twitters. You can email us if you really feel that you should do that. Email address is joe@itsthatpodcast.com or jason@itsthatpodcast.com. We thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
That's it. This episode of It's That. I am Tabuyani.